Hey, this is Logan Olson.
And this is Ben Jaley.
And we have a special guest this week.
John Devilman.
And this is To the Fucking Future.
Yeah!
Cheers.
So, John Devilman.
Yes, sir.
What do you do for a living, bro?
I'm a tattoo artist.
Awesome.
Indeed.
So this week we're actually going to talk about the future of I guess tattoos
and body modification.
I was going to say, and let's blow it out a little bit to all modification of your physical body.
Yeah.
So, John, how do tattoos even work?
Well, you have a machine, and the machine has a little pocket that ink is stored into, and a needle goes in and out. It depends on what kind of machine you have. Some of them are worked with electromagnets, and some of them rotary machines. The needle then punctures the first three layers of the seven layers of epidermis skin that you have, where the ink will rest and remain a liquid forever. When it's healing, though, a lot of the times the ink will start to flake off, and people think that they're losing actual color out of their tattoos, but what it is in fact is when it's going to the third layer of epidermal skin, it's also there's sediment that's in the first two layers and it's just kicking that out. So anyway, that's the gist of it. That's how tattoos kind of work.
Is there some sort of formal training you need to do to become a tattoo artist?
Unfortunately, these days, not many people are being trained the way they're supposed to be. A lot of people are just seeing it online or on the TV shows, the reality shows, and deciding to buy a machine off the internet and working on their homies.
So how did you end up falling into this line of business?
I was homeless. And
the best tattoo artist always get homeless.
You have to start our character in the worst of places. Yes, I was a broken man living on the streets under bridges and whatnot, and I had a really close friend of mine who moved away and showed some the owner of a tattoo shop that he started to frequent my artwork, and this guy was like, this guy can really draw. You should bring him in and let me talk to him. And it was in another state, so he told me about this opportunity, and I figured it beats living under a bridge. I had actually no inclination to do it before it was offered to me like that, way off the street.
So what was your most...
he did a little dance there to really drive.
My little jig!
So what's the most badass tattoo you ever made?
I would have to say, I'm a big fan of certain movies, so whenever I get to do an iconic character from one of the movies I love, that always strikes me. It always makes me very happy. Our friend Tom Jacobson has Ash from Evil Dead 2.
It's excellent.
Got to do a Conan the Barbarian, but I also enjoy doing portraits of myself on people, so that's another thing that I really like doing.
Has that actually happened?
I'm up to four now.
Do you bring it up? Is it like, so, you know, just, you have an empty space there, may I suggest?
If you don't mind, I've got some free time. At first it started off as this odd kind of conversation around the drinking pool, and I was just throwing it out there as a joke, and the guy was like, "No, it's a really good idea. You're amazing, man. Just do it. Let's go."
Just imagine this dude just drunk off.
Oh, yeah, of course
you
he
should
was.
Be drawing over on your face on everybody, man. You're the best. You're the best.
Yeah, so that's how it started, and then it just kind of became some sort of trend. People are always asking me to throw myself in there somehow.
Go to John Devilman for portraits of John Devilman.
He's a good-looking guy, I swear. Just get his face on you.
Also, really quick, just because your last name's Devilman, is that really your last name, or is that a pen name or something like that?
Unlike a lot of other tattoo artists, I'm about to speak disparagingly of the profession, I'm actually an artist. And one of my influences is a Japanese artist by the name of Go Nagai. If you ever saw Mazinger Z or Cutie Honey or any of that stuff, he came up with a lot of like the first giant robot shows. He's very iconic in the Japanese animation scene. And my father, being a military guy, he would come back with a bunch of anime stuff. And he brought back Devilman. And it was something that I really should have been watching as a kid, but it looked cute enough for my dad to bring home. And I mean, this guy was like beating up naked demons who were hot with the big boobs out. And I'm like a kid and I loved it. You know,
really quickly, this is the blue guy with the wings on his head?
Yeah, that's it. You know. Yeah, know. Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
Fucking stuff.
I know my anime, bro.
That's what I'm talking about.
I know my anime.
Speaking of anime, not as a crazy diversionary moment, but I got to bring this up. Okay, so somebody called me out on this, Tom, like a week ago. Because like when I was growing up, my friend that introduced me to Japanese animation always, and like I enjoyed it, but it was not something that I discovered on my own. Like I was off doing my own thing. I was like, you know, I was one of those kind of middle of the road kids. Was like, oh, I did sports, but I liked, you know, like Japanese animation too, and comic book.
Because you can only do one of those. Everybody who's listening to this, you can only do sports or love anime. You can never do both.
You can never do both.
Don't cross
never.
The streams.
Never cross the streams. Anyway, my good friend Sam, we were like playing video games and hanging out one day, and he's like, dude, we should watch this thing. It's called Neon Genesis Evangelion. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. And he showed me, you know, his shelf of imported Japanese animation. I was like, oh, wow, I don't know anything about this. And so he started playing me all these movies, and I thought they were really cool, and I was really enjoying them. And he always pronounced it anime. This is anime, anime. And so I was like, that's what you call it. And then I see it written down, and I'm like, oh, okay, so you say the A as if there's an H there. Cool, no big deal, whatever. So no one has ever flipped me shit about that ever until like a week ago when I was like, oh, yeah, like, you know, we'll sit down and we'll watch some anime or whatever. And then I swear to God, three heads snapped at me like, anime, anime. Like suddenly I was some sort of like asshole English lord who was like, after we go to the polo grounds, we're going to sit down and enjoy some anime.
We are not very keen on your geographical vernacular.
What the fuck? It's a word. I don't know. So I'm curious now that I know that Logan also enjoys these. Am I being a total dingbag or what?
You know what? It's common to have what I've heard referred to as a reader's vocabulary, where you know a lot of words, but you have no idea how to pronounce them.
And I thought hors d'oeuvres and hors d'oeuvres were two completely separate things until I was like 14. Because I'd say hors d'oeuvres, those delicious things before dinner, and then I'd read a book. And I'd be like, oh, and they're going to enjoy some hors d'oeuvres.
That was me with Ari and Ari. A-W. Oh. Yeah, didn't realize it was one and the same. Yeah. But anyways, I would argue anime is the same as that. Whereas, you know, it's just because I would assume it's because you read it a bunch. Or crevasse, which is just crevice. I just say crevasse because I can believe.
I always think of a crevice as something on the earth and a crevasse as on something on a person.
Mm.
So
that's a good distinction.
But that's really just my own distinction.
So Devilman, have you ever drawn Devilman on somebody? Like, did you ever get to tattoo Devilman?
You know, I haven't. Unfortunately, no, I have not. I would really like to, putting that out there somewhere in the universe. But yeah, I'm going as him for Comic-Con though this year.
Nice.
Yeah, you're gonna paint yourself blue.
I'm gonna go as the updated version where he's not blue.
The live action film version.
He is pretty awesome. Yeah, that one.
Okay, so you're not just gonna look like Tobias Funke. Like with some wings on his ears?
No.
Okay. So,
by the way, if you do decide to go the full blue body paint method, I've discovered a really great alcohol setting spray. Paint yourself, spray and set so you don't leave paint everywhere.
Because Ben paints himself a lot.
Yes, I do.
So
Smurf fetishes.
Right before we dive into the future of tattoos,
yes.
What's the most grisly tattoo accident you've ever seen? Like, have you ever accidentally, like, tattooed, like, accidentally across somebody's face and blood sprays out their eyes?
Oh, God, I've got so many stories about that. We could spend the whole podcast talking about that.
Like, really the most, like, the one that, like, too violent for HBO.
Well, I know someone who went into shock while getting a tattoo. My friend was giving this woman a tattoo, and I actually put this on my Shark Monster show. Mm. While he was tattooing her, without warning, she turns to him and throws up spaghetti all over him. And there's a trash can, like, literally right next to him. She could have gone, oh, my God, I feel like sick, and then thrown up in the trash can. No warning, just all projectile vomits all over him. And then sitting there, stoically, taking all this, absorbing the disgusting thing that just happened, she does it again. Again, not warning, not aiming for the trash can at all. The man, pure professional that he is, we sold shirts there, so he goes to the bathroom, washes himself off, puts on the new shirt that we sold there, and then finishes the tattoo. The woman didn't even have the dignity to give him a tip.
What?
Oh my God! What a bitch!
I don't think she thanked him. It was just like one of those thankless, like, yep, you did your job. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Go fuck yourself for the rest of your life.
Did she at least seem apologetic about all the vomiting?
I guess she was just trying to pretend it never happened.
That's the best way to deal
with it. Like when your father walks in on you and you're playing with yourself and he just walks out and you never talk about it.
But you're at dinner and he's like, so how was baseball today? So you're like, fine, it was fine, Dad. Everything's fine. Your mom is sitting there and goes like, why is everyone so tense?
Why so strange. It's an awkward silence.
The boy doesn't play baseball. What the fuck are you talking about?
So the future of tattoos. Does tattoos...
That's still the future of tattoos.
Tattoos. Well, I'm actually curious. Is there like improvements in tattoo technology? Is like, well, this next year is the hypersonic business.
It's a fucking awesome question. For those of you who aren't here and you can't see me, I don't have any tattoos myself. I've been doing it for 15 years, so I've been in the industry for a while. And I'm kind of, it's weird because I'm kind of a pariah in a group of social outcasts, so that's even, I'm even more offset. I have no problem trying out the new stuff that comes out. There are so many new technologies that are coming out. There was something called a pneumatic machine, which used air pressure from a compressor to propel the needle instead of this electromagnet with the springs and stuff. The engineering of the machine, it draws back from an Edison design where you send a charge through these electromagnets and they become magnetized and they draw the spring down, and this needle bar is connected to the spring, and there's also a contact point. The contact point electrifies it, and that's how the circuit is closed, and that's how this thing becomes electric and becomes magnetized. And once the needle is drawn down, it closes that, or it breaks the circuit.
Yeah, sure.
So the circuit is now open, and it's no longer magnetized, and then it goes back up.
So it just oscillates.
Back and forth. Now, there's tension on the spring, and the spring is always going to get more. It's going to wear, and you're going to constantly have to tune it. So when the air compressor machine, the pneumatic machine, came out, it was more of a constant flow, and it was a smoother line, and it just created a loud noise because of the compression. Mm. But a lot of the older tattoo artists, the people who'd been in it for a long time, the old bikers, the prison, whatever, they try to ostracize the people who were trying to use this. They're like, oh, that's fucking, you know, you need a fucking machine like old school, you know, like gut puncher.
You need electromechanical.
What's all this technology and shit you... pansy motherfucker.
When I got my first tattoo, it was with a guitar string that I unwound and dipped in a man's blood.
Because it's always best to tattoo with another man's blood.
Duh.
Yeah. No bloodborne pathogens there.
None. Although I do have a question about that, not to derail us again.
No, go ahead.
But I've heard that you can make a pretty wicked prison tattoo with the high E string of a guitar as your needle and ballpoint pen ink.
Yes. There are a plethora of different ways that you can create tattoo ink, quote unquote, from the materials in prison. I know that from being in jail myself, that you can take a styrofoam cup and you will set it on fire underneath a paper bag, and then the ashes from that styrofoam cup you will scrape off and put in cocoa butter. And use that as your black ink.
There is nothing about that that sounds cancer causing at all.
No, it's nothing. Fine. It's fine, kids. And then, as far as colors are concerned, you would just take M&Ms and let them soak in cocoa butter, and all the color would wash off into the cocoa butter.
Where's all this cocoa butter coming from in jail?
Well, you know, you got to rape someone with something.
So they just sell cocoa butter?
You don't want bleeding hands. Like.
Duh. You buy it with cigarettes, Logan, like everything else in prison.
Or stamps, because that's something that's commodity that you can carry on outside of the prison. So you'd have the guards sneak in supplies, and you'd pay them with the stamps that you're supposed to be mailing your loved ones with. Because they can go out and actually cash the stamps.
Right. So they get you the cigarettes so you can buy the cocoa butter to make tattoo ink with.
Oh, yeah.
What a strange economy. So, anyways, so there's pneumatic air.
Okay, yes. The pneumatic air machines. That's one advance that came about. But then there has been... It's kind of an older thing that's come around again, like rotary engines and cars. There is a rotary tattoo machine now. And I actually have been using them for years, a couple years. Most machines cost, usually the traditional machines that you buy with all the bells and whistles will be about $350 to $400, somewhere around that range. I bought a machine for $70, and it was one of these rotary machines, and it lasted me for 2 years.
So what's the catch?
It just isn't a traditional machine. There isn't that stigma surrounding it. Like, you can...
It's like a Mazda, man. It's like
so
a
Mazda. Are tattoo artists like a very traditionalist group or that are adverse to new technology?
They're oh my goodness. It's like they pound their head against the wall sometimes. Like I said, with the bikers and the pneumatic machines. Now the pneumatic machines had their flaws. And but as far as the rotary machines are concerned, I've been using it for years. I've been doing this for a long time. I can't find really anything wrong with them. Usually they have two machines, one for lining and one for your shading. I use the rotary machine for both. And I just got a new rotary machine because I won this tattoo art contest, and it's even more amazing. It's just there's so many advances. I mean, I can go into the little every little bell and whistle, but it would take forever. But there's so many advances being made. Ink, technique.
So what sort of
I had a question about future ink. I read an article about this, but then I feel like I never heard about it again. But it seemed like it was imminent when I read it a couple years ago. But it was ink that was effectively removable, and mm-hmm. so they put I guess some form of biodegradable black and colored ink in microscopic glass spheres that once it was put into you, it was fine. But then with the use of a laser, a specially tuned laser, it could effectively like shatter this microscopic. These microscopic glass spheres, and then your body would just slowly wash the ink away. Oh my God, my mic stand's falling over. Anyway, comment.
It's one of those things. Like you hear about so many things like this, these innovations that are being made, and like I said, a lot of traditionalists out there will try to inhibit or stop altogether any kind of progression in the tattoo industry. And I don't know why. I don't know what it is about them that is afraid of change. Or the future coming about, but
do you think maybe it might come a little bit? I mean, obviously, tattooing and body art in general has become a much more widely accepted thing across all cultural strata in the United States in the last 10, 15 years. I mean, growing up, the idea, like, I don't know, 20 years ago, growing up, the idea that it's totally, totally normal for anyone to have a tattoo that is visible all the time. It was a little far-fetched.
Right. You were a gangster or dealer or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now it's like totally normal. Like lawyers that I know have like giant ink work done on their shoulders and stuff. You don't suppose it might be a reaction to a little bit like the club is getting a little too opened up? You know, it's like, the secret club is being opened up, and now we're like, we're losing it, man. Like every jerk with, you know, $50 is covered in ink.
Yeah, you know about the show I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. It's just for everyone out there listening, the two of you. There is a show that I'm making. It's a scripted television show. It has nothing to do with reality shows. But you'd think that the tattoo community would kind of rally behind me and try and help me out. I was going to all kinds of tattoo shops around Hollywood and LA and stuff. And
really quickly, what is the show? I assume the show is tattoo related if you're going to tattoo shops. But what can you just give us like a quick?
Yeah, it's called Shark Monster, and it's I would like if you've seen the Simon Pegg show Spaced, or if you watch Scrubs, it's like that, but in a tattoo shop, totally scripted. It's zany characters and stuff like that. Just trying to have a lot of fun with it. But yeah, there is a script. It's more going to be because the reality shows show this side of tattooing that I've never seen, and I've been working here for 15 years. It's like, oh hey, let me cater to you, client. No, we talk shit about them. The whole time we're grumbling about the tattoos we have to do, like, oh, there's another tribal armband. This, you know, it's like it's never good. We're always
Logan, hide your tribal armband design you're gonna bring out later.
So anyway, I was going around and asking for help, and they would tell me to my face. These people who'd only been they'd only been in the industry for maybe a year, maybe two, they would look at me straight-faced and say, no, tattoo shows that's what's wrong with the industry today, the tattoo shows. They wouldn't even have a job if it weren't for Miami Ink or whatever that stuff.
Right.
And tattoos becoming commonplace, and like you were talking, like now it's this thing where everyone has one. You can't walk down the boulevard without everyone showing off their tattoo. They're so proud of it. They're
every single person just showing off their tattoo,
flexing the whole way.
The beach is that way.
Lifting up their shirts wherever they're at.
Oh God, I wish that was happening more often.
So specifically the inks. Have you used any of these like high-tech inks beyond like traditional colors?
There are always new blends of inks, and we're always, because we're always trying to improve. A lot of us are trying to improve our craft, and we're always trying to find the inks that will stay better, that will stay brighter, that won't have adverse reactions because some skin rejects ink. So we're constantly searching. But as far as the degradable ink, that's one of those things. It was a blip on the radar that just disappeared almost as soon as it came out.
Wow.
I heard about it and never saw anyone use it.
Hmm. Yeah.
I assume it's because it's like a lock and key thing where it's like if you do that, the only way you can remove it is with their frequency laser or something.
Well,
nature.
But I would also argue probably more than likely. I would bet the really big barriers that like, well, when you think about it, the two barriers to getting a tattoo really are pain and permanence. It's like you got to sit there and get it done and it hurts. and you got to deal with the rest of your life unless you want to spend a lot of money, and even then, not really guaranteed that cleanup removal process will be totally effective.
Or you can just get it covered up, which is what I do all the time.
Fair enough. But assuming, let's say, for instance, you I'm going with a super extreme example here.
Is you get buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Oh, okay, that is super way less offensive than what I was going to say. But what I was going to say is, let's say you go to prison, and the only way for you to survive is to join the white supremacist gang. And you have to get a swastika tattooed on your face or something. And you're
right,
like,
on your face. Yeah. Just across your eyes like the Lone Ranger.
And then you get out of prison, and you walk around with your hand over your left cheek going, so anyway, prison was pretty bad. I need to get this taken off. And they're like, taking what off? The swastika under my hand on my face. Can't really cover that one up unless you're just like, wow, that eagle that you have tattooed on your cheek is really beautiful, except for the weird swastika pattern in its feathers. But
just SS eagle.
I am.
My point being is that I'm sure that, you know, there was a certain set of people that was like, ooh, I can get a tattoo and I can just disappear. Mm. And then it's like, but it still costs $500 for something big and cool, and it still hurts.
Well, also, it sounds like, I think it's really easy for people outside the industry like us to hear, it's like, well, it's just ballpoint ink, right? Yeah, right. Like, and so when you talk about like making sure it's more permanent, more vibrant, mm-hmm. it's the same as when you hear an artist talk about like different brands of acrylic paint. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of like, well, why didn't you just buy the one in the glass spheres? It's like, well, there's more there's more factors than just
there's more
that
life
one.
Than glass spheres, Ben.
Well, I'm sure you guys have seen a bunch of the old military guys with the old bikers with the tattoos, mm-hmm. and the ink underneath is kind of oxidized and turned green, mm-hmm. and weird and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, a lot of the inks, like I said, the developments and the advancements in tattooing industry, a lot of it has been in the ink. Mm-hmm. And there's more permanence, and it doesn't really turn green anymore. It stays, you know, true to the color that you're putting in originally. So that's one of the advancements.
So I have a color question.
Yeah.
For those of you who have never seen a photograph of me, our 4.5 listeners, I have like light olivey skin. Mm-hmm. Do they have like really like powerful like white ink? So if I wanted to get something that was like butcher paper white done on me, would you actually be able to see that as like a clear solid white band? Well, like, have you seen the photos of Jamie Foxx's Electro yet in the new Spider-Man movie?
No. Where he's wearing the blue helmet thing. I didn't know that was supposed to be Jamie Foxx. Is that Jamie Foxx?
Is he like albino in the movie?
Well, I think it's meant to be like techno albino, but he's like he's very clearly, he is like white, like the driven snow with like blue contact lenses in, and then like weird blue tracers running up his face.
See, I just saw a small image and I didn't click on it. I'm not with the new franchise.
No. I think it's completely unnecessary in every conceivable way.
Yeah. Is this a really roundabout way of asking if Jamie Foxx did a full body tattoo, just straight white?
Or are you just asking if black people can get tattoos?
What are you asking, Ben?
I'm just really curious about my color palette options.
So racist. okay, no. In all seriousness, this is good, man. This is all things that I tell all my clients. Skin is like window tinting. So the darker the tint, the harder it is to see the design underneath. So the darker your skin, whatever color you're going to get, your skin tint is going to add that color to whatever ink I put underneath you. So I could put white and it would look vibrant as hell for like 2 weeks until you healed up and all the first and second layers of epidermis kick the skin out, and then you only have the third underneath. You have that layer of window tinting on top. And it'll kind of be it'll be lighter than your skin tone, but it'll still have that olive tint to it.
Interesting.
Have you found in Photoshop the correct layer blending model to like where you can just take
this is what your tattoo is going to look like in 3 weeks?
Yeah.
8 weeks? 4 years? Notice I added some wrinkles there. This is 10 years, but I'm being super charitable about your tits.
Well, I'm just saying, like, there's like, you know, if for all our, I guarantee you every single one of these listeners listens to Photoshop. Also, it should be noted, at first we had 2 listeners. And then we had 4.5. So it's implying that they're multiplying
yeah,
like
it's
amoeba.
Growing. I tweeted.
That's awesome.
I tweeted. Remember? That tweet had brought in 2.5 listeners.
I did not know we had live analytics. Now I'm terrified.
But yeah, Mom? There's like the different blending modes, like overlay and multiply and subtractive. Mm-hmm. Like, do you use Photoshop as
an
artist?
I did, yes.
Have you like tried to find like the correct blending mode for like tattoos?
I've never done that. Here's a sad thing. A lot of us, myself included, I mean, I do want my tattoos, like Tom's tattoos. I'll touch them up if need be. I always want my work to look really well done. So that way, it's kind of like a walking calling card. But once they're out of the chair and I get my picture and it's in the book, the portfolio that I show to other people and it looks vibrant and great and pretty, I don't really give a fuck. I mean, I do, because I want it to look good, and I want it to last, because I have a reputation, but...
It's not on you if they go to the beach all the time and get, like, and a brutal sunburn, don't moisturize their skin, or pick at it,
Jesus Christ. So I'm just thinking about the horror stories of people, like, they get a tattoo, and it looks great, and then they'll just do something cockamamie stupid and just ruin it. Like the beach, or this one guy tried to clean it with hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, Jesus, fuck!
Exactly, and he's like, what, that wasn't good? No, his whole tattoo fell out. It looked like he was just scrubbing on it with a Brillo pad, like,
oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
So, speaking about that, to the future, do you ever try to hide in little nuggets that will only be revealed as they sag and wrinkle, almost like one of the back covers of a Mad magazine?
This old woman has her back fat slowly curled. It's a portrait of Richard Nixon.
My brother.
Try answering that.
No. It's easy. It doesn't really sag. You just end up growing more skin. What's underneath there, it will migrate a bit. That happens no matter what over time. Because, like I said, it remains liquid and your skin does grow. But my brother, I'll give an example of him. He had an anti-swastika tattoo because he's very anti-racism. He was like a punk rock, like, oi, oi, fuck the Nazis. He had it right here, dead center on his shoulder. And he was always a really skinny guy. Then, like around his mid-20s or early 30s, he decided, I want to be a big bodybuilder motherfucker. And he got huge. He's enormous now. Instead of like stretching like a lot of people think that the tattoo would do, it just ended up migrating. Because he just, your skin doesn't really stretch, you just grow more skin.
But what about like women that I've seen that, say for instance, when they were incredibly tight and young and hot, had like a sun done around their belly buttons, and then I meet them 20 years later and they have a like deflated little thing because they've had two children and their bellies have grown and shrank.
That's not so much their skin stretching as their body contouring. Yeah, it's the contour of their body that's doing that, and the light and shadow. I mean, like you posted that thing. I saw it a couple of people with the girl and the lights moving around her face, and it just makes her look all kind of crazy, depending on where the light source is coming from. And it's kind of like that with your body contouring in different ways. The light source hits it in a different way. I mean, like I said, it does migrate. It does stretch a bit, but mostly it just migrates around.
Huh.
I like the idea of a time lapse of the. I'm imagining the Godsmack symbol, like that little frilly
around the belly button.
Around the belly button, but in time lapse, it looks like a tarantula crawling into the woman's belly button.
I'm sure that's exactly what it looks like.
Can I just say too that that Godsmack tattoo is in the mid-90s, or it was the late 90s, right? Early 2000s?
Yeah, it was during the new metal phase.
Yeah,
that
and the Goldberg armband were the bane of my existence in the early 2000s.
How many per week would you say you do? 0.5? Let's make it per month to make your life a little easier.
A deep sigh. Oh, Jesus. Way too many.
That's interesting.
One is too many. Really quickly, I know I've given at least
in the year 2013... where we currently are, what's the most what is the Goldberg and Godsmack of today?
Let's get serious for a second. There's different drives that are compelling people to get tattoos. Some of them are in the gangs, you know, like before. Some of them are.
Do you actually do gang tattoos?
I do.
Do you have any qualms with that? Or is it like, it's their life and I'm an artist. Here
it's
you go.
Not. Most of the people who come to me to get the gang tattoos, it's usually like, I want. It's still artistic in a manner of speaking. It's like, I want a lion with a crown, or I want a name.
Wait, so it's like the Narnia books gang?
Yes, that's.
I want like a wardrobe with a kingly lion.
The Ice Queen is coming upon us. We have to fight her tooth and nail because I'm a lion.
South Central's a very different place than it was when we were growing up. It's much more magical.
Hold on.
I want to get a paper cup for whiskey because I keep staring at it and I want some now.
Take some, sir.
We
only have a few sips left.
I'll just have a little nip.
Are you just going to drink right out of the bottle?
No, I don't want to be rude. Yeah.
I don't want to be rude. I don't want to drink whiskey straight from the bottle.
Well, did you notice that I had already crumpled before you started making fun of me. I was like, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I'll do that. So you do a lot of lines with crowns.
Sorry, no. For the gangsters, it's usually like the really flowy script.
Mm-hmm.
For the hipsters like a lot of the traditional style, like the old sailor stuff, but a little...
Chest plates.
I was going to say, like, Sailor Jerry.
You know what? A lot of the hipsters like getting their throats and knuckles done, or their hands, before anything else.
The things that my mother would refer to as everlasting job stoppers, their first tattoo.
That's what they do. Because they can get pussy off of it.
I was going to say, because if you're a hipster, you never want a job.
That's true.
Hipster
look,
job.
I don't Logan. Have any tattoos, Bam. And Cheers. I don't want to work. What do I look like?
To jobs or to not jobs. Having them
or not having them.
Don't answer that question.
Wait, so but like is there like that same like the Pamela Anderson barbed wire of 2013 where it's like holy shit another one?
There was a post that came out recently that was circulating around the internet. I think it was called something like 8 tattoos that people need to stop getting. Among them were finger tattoos. A lot of people like to get the side of their fingers tattooed, thinking that it'll stay because it won't. It'll last maybe 2 weeks, and then a lot of it's going to fall out and look like shit. Even if it's beautifully done by a master, it's going to fall out because you're always using your hands, you're touching stuff, the oils, I don't know. There's one of the infinity symbol that will have a break in it, and it'll spell a word. It could be forever or someone's Joshua.
Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm sure the first person that thought that up was legitimately proud of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, motherfucker, this is fucking brilliant. Get
beautiful.
It.
Look
it's
at me.
Fucking infinity Look symbol, but it's got my girlfriend's name.
But my
in
girl,
it.
She's worth forever.
Forever.
Forever, baby. Boo, this is all you, girl. I love you. I love the hell out of you. Then there's also one that is a crow feather that is dissolving into crows flying away.
That happens a lot. That is a common tattoo.
I don't know if it's because a celebrity gets it. I don't know where they come from. But
these are really eccentric.
Yeah, a celebrity will get them or something. There's like the rosary around the ankle.
Oh,
That happens
that
a bunch.
Have you done any Ouroboros? Like any snakes eating themselves?
You know, I haven't, and I've been wanting to because I'm a really big fan of this Robert Jordan series called The Wheel of Time.
Shut the front door. I just finished A Memory of Light.
When did Shut the Front Door turn into something? I had not heard that before last week.
Because Shut the Front Door is what, like on TBS, if someone says, shut the fuck up, to make it cable safe, what matches lips if you really are seeing someone's mouth in the cut is
shut the front door.
And so a lot of people say it as a goof on that.
Yeah. What'd you think? I mean...
So I'll be perfectly frank. I quit reading years ago after...
Jordan died?
No, before he died.
Because he was just kind of drawing it out to get more money.
Because the books were literally doubling in size while the amount of time in story that the books were covering was halving.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd open up a book and it would be 800 pages and I'd be like...
Do you think he was shifting gears?
No, I think he just didn't know what he was trying to do at the time. But anyway, just...
That was a circumference of wheel, because we're talking about the Wheel of Time joke.
God, fuck you.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
But no, I think I gave up around... I think the last book that I clearly remember reading was Lord of Chaos.
Mm.
And then I picked up the next one, and I was just like, what the fuck? And it was all just braid tugging and snorting, and it was
mosaic tiling.
Yeah, and it was like, she wore a beautifully brocaded dress with like blah, blah, blah. And
oh,
I was like,
Jesus,
and
yeah.
I got to the end of it, and I was like, 2 days in the story have passed. I have lost more time in my life reading these 800 pages. Gave up.
Yeah.
And then I recently, like 2 months ago, saw like, you know, Wheel of Time series finally comes to an end. Brandon Sanderson finished the series according to Robert Jordan's notes. I read a couple of the reviews and I was like, man, do I really need to read this? And then little 14-year-old of me was like, yeah, you do, fuckstick. And so I downloaded it or I bought it from Amazon. I bought the hardcover. I sat down. I read the synopses of the ones that I hadn't read. And spoiler alert, you can literally get everything you need from those books in like an hour of Wikipedia reading.
In fact, indeed.
I would argue that you and I, John Devilman, could take the entire Wheel of Time series as currently written and go on an editing project where we fix some problems. We could reduce it down to 6 books.
We really
the 14
could.
Books could be reduced to 6 incredibly excellent books.
Yeah,
I'd argue that's the case with a lot of books. Like Moby Dick could be written in, you know, 20 to 30 pages, but it's all about the
setting.
Yeah, no. In some books, Yes.
It's an exorbitant amount of detail for not much happening.
Yeah, and detail, like, there are whole subplots that just, like, they don't need to be there at all.
Unlike George R.R. Martin's series, which every little, and this is what I thought, even though the first six books,
you think everything is going somewhere meaningful.
What's George R.R. Martin?
Game of Thrones, but what is it? Song of Ice and Fire.
Fire, yes. We just lost our three listeners because we couldn't immediately name
them. They're like, oh, you motherfucker!
Fuck these assholes! Boop!
but every little thing that he puts in there will come back around, except for the fourth book. The fourth book was really long, and it was a long tooth. And it's better to Wikipedia that if you are listening and you haven't read the books yet, but you're planning to go and just... I mean, Arya's the only good part of that book.
I think we should just cut out the books entirely. Just read Wikipedia, and you're done with all the books.
I will say, though, I read A Memory of Light, the final book. I was very happy with it.
I cried.
I enjoyed it. I was like, you know what? This was a good ending.
Yeah,
really good. You know what? I will give Brandon Sanderson credit. The man told the story much more efficiently. He fucking got to the point, and I appreciated that.
No, I appreciate it, too.
And there was not one braid tug. I kept my eyes open for it.
Especially cut her hair.
Well, yeah, but there were plenty of other female characters that could have been tugging braids and snorting, and they never did. She never snorted either.
So I don't know how we got on the Wheel of Time.
That was my fault. I'm sorry. It was the Ouroboros question, and then he said, I want to do one because of the Wheel of Time.
But we
should edit those books down, because I really think that they could become Tolkien-level classics with a really vicious editor.
They really could. I want them to be the next series that comes out, like the big epic.
The only way that's going to happen is if two plucky young guys in Los Angeles burn off 8 books worth of extraneous B-plots and descriptions of dresses.
Here's what I'd suggest for the edited version of this.
Plucky as fuck.
Let's do this.
I'd suggest that we slowly ramp up the speed of the Wheel of Time conversation until it goes 8 speed and then ramps back down again.
I think that's really a great idea. please make a note of that, because we definitely want to do that. You good with that? That was a pointless tangent.
And then throw something like nerdgasm.
The ironic part about that is that we just did what I was criticizing Robert Jordan
for doing. That's actually incredible that you did that. You did a long-winded criticism about how long-winded somebody else was.
Yeah, how long-winded someone's pointless subplots were.
There's not enough bourbon in here.
So what are the most popular tattoos of the year 2015?
What's coming up fast?
They always go with the classics. There's always roses. There's always skulls. But there are more people who are coming out that are actually artists who are trying to tattoo, and a lot of these people are capable of performing just doing portraits in general. They may not be the best, but they're better than anyone in the past 30 years probably would have been able to do. And it's, like I said, because of the technology. Yeah, but portraits are becoming a thing now, and that's good, because that's one of my, like, realism is kind of my forte, and it's what I appreciate doing, because I think it's a little more difficult than other things.
But what I want to jump ahead even further.
Can I ask one last question? I've always been really curious. I've had an idea for a stupid tattoo, and I'm going to change the body part that I would have it done on, just for the sake of our listeners. But bear with me now.
Imagine a snake with 2 sacks of money on my arm.
Imagine if on my arm, from my elbow all the way to the tip of my arm, I wanted an anatomically correct grayscale shading of my arm wrapped around the whole thing. So I want all my veins, hairs, knuckle creases, and everything else shaded in grayscale as if a very lovely drawing of my hand has been done in very nice charcoal and pencil.
I completely misinterpreted what you said to mean the rendering of your arm, but then take that rendering and stretch and wrap it around your arm. So it's actually your arm wrapping around your arm like a boa version, a boa python version.
Okay, well, that's neat too, but I just wanted to, I mean, like, whatever.
So just like if you were Gerard Butler on 300 and they had to paint in your abs or something like that.
Right, you
just want everything accentuated.
Yes.
This might
relate to my question about white ink earlier.
I would say it could be done, no problem, but I would probably try and talk you out of it.
Fair.
Why would you talk him out of it?
I would say that is a pretty stupid idea, and you're going to regret it later on, and don't do it.
I'm really glad that for the sake of this discussion, I moved the body part that I was originally thinking.
Oh,
God.
Wonderful. Leg? Is that it?
Let's just say leg. Not that I'm the kind of guy that would get a tattoo, because at the end of the day, I've made it this many years and I've never managed to settle on anything meaningful enough to actually get a decent piece of artwork for me. That ain't happening.
Well, that's the hard part, is finding something that I actually care about tattooing. I'm going to do like a dragon or a unicorn. I just don't know what I would tattoo.
Love to tattoo both of those on you.
A dragon riding
a unicorn.
Or fighting the unicorn he's riding.
Yeah.
It's really
or
weird.
Or a unidragon. I don't know.
A unidragon.
I mean, yeah. My sister is covered in ink and she loves it. It's all great. It's great. Pisses my mom off to no end. I don't have anything, and, you know.
You don't need it. I don't have anything.
I'm okay. And you goddamn do this for a living.
Yeah. And I get a lot of shit for it.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think will be the most popular tattoo in the year 2100?
Oh, let's see.
Well, based on what you said earlier, we're talking about how, like, retro tattoos are, like, you know, old sailor tattoos.
Yeah.
The fucking crow's feather turning into crows will be extremely popular again because no one will have used it in 70 years.
Well, the thing about the sailor tattoos is there's plenty of sailor tattoos. You have the women dancing. You have the eagle flying down, the anchor, the rose, the old traditional rose, all kinds of different stuff. The monkey spreading its butthole. That says aloha.
Is that really a common... That's a Sailor Jerry tattoo?
Yeah. That's on a Sailor Jerry flash, yeah.
Wow. There you go.
But you know, yeah, that stuff, honestly, will still be very popular. That will never lose its flair because it was the first, like, kind of... I don't know if it's mainstream, but it was the first mass-produced flash sheet that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know...
And just for our listeners... the term flash sheet.
It's when you go into a tattoo shop. Mm-hmm. It's the designs that you would see on the wall. We commonly refer to this as flash.
So is that for people who are like, I really want a tattoo, but I actually don't give a shit what's actually on my body. So let's just pick something.
A lot of the times when people first are introduced to getting tattooed, they don't put a lot of thought into it. They just know they want to get a tattoo, whether it's to be rebellious or they just, you know, hair up their ass, whatever. So they'll just go into a random parlor without doing their research. They'll just say, this place looks good. Let's go here because it's on the street that I'm walking on. I'll walk in and look at something on the wall and say, put that on my ass. And then they'll regret it years later, but, you know, whatever.
But they got a story out of it, so you're good.
I do like the story.
So I guess the real question is, will we still tattoo like we tattoo now in how many years is
let's
that?
Let's say
like
50.
Let's go with 50. Do you think we'll still use... the needle going to the third layer of
epidermal skin.
Or we'll use like the crazy new hypodermic. I'm making jumps here from industries, but there are new ways of giving people
their skin graftings and stuff, right?
I was thinking for in the things you give people to prevent them from getting diseases later on in life.
Vaccinations.
There are vaccinations that are pressure air driven vaccinations into the skin. That don't utilize a needle, and thus they can be reused infinitely in, you know, deeply impoverished areas without the risk of cross-contamination.
So you're saying we'd apply tattoos, like temporary tattoos, but they're permanent?
No, it drives it through your skin.
But those – and this is where it gets tricky. Something like this, and I'm not going to say because I know that as a species we – leaps and bounds, quantum leaps. We're always making technological advances. Damn you, Jameson, you're having an effect on my speech here.
slurry bottle
of booze. I'm sure you saw Starship Troopers where they all went and got the Death from Above tattoos via laser.
Right.
I'm not going to say that will never happen because I would love for that to happen one day. Technology could meet expectations and ideas and imagination, and that could happen one day. Now, however, there are so many variables. The skin, you know, like I said, it has to go within a certain depth. If it goes too far, the skin will scar, and it'll be bumpy and it'll look terrible. So you have to, on a curved surface, go a certain depth into the body. So the vaccination that you're talking about with the air pressure, how would you be able to regulate that so it only goes in a certain amount of pressure on a curved surface?
You know what? This actually sounds very doable for CAD manufacturing, computer aided design and manufacturing.
Right, right.
I mean, you can already get the design.
They've tried,
and I don't doubt they tried. But it's only in the last it's only in the last 2 to 3 years that we're starting to see computer aided manufacturing design at a point where it's leaving it. The precision.
Are you talking about like, I'm sorry, are you talking about like the 3D printing of guns and meat and stuff like that?
Well, there's 3D printing and then there's also 2D etching and stuff of that nature. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen the egg painting bot that somebody made.
I have not.
A few weeks ago, it was like for Easter, but they actually developed a way to etch very accurate designs onto the shell of an egg.
Okay.
And it's like, that's what I think you're talking about, contoured surfaces.
Right.
Making sure you go a correct depth.
Now, imagine this contour surface that has perhaps a very low pain threshold. You're always having to move with the person. And I'm, like I said, this is something that's totally doable. And that's what I prefaced it with. It will be doable eventually. But you'll have a person who, under the pain threshold or weak, high, whatever, mm-hmm. will move, will breathe, will turn. When you turn your head, like I just turned my head from the microphone, my whole body moves. So if I'm working here on the arm and someone looks like this, their whole body moves and it fucks up. You have to be able to accommodate that when you're tattooing. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a machine that has enough processing power to realize the person's moving, and this is totally doable. There's all kinds of things that are coming out, innovations and whatnot that would help this happen. I'm just saying that as far as tattoos are concerned, it's going to be a while before something automated is able to put a tattoo on.
So here's what I.
Nice callback. That was amazing.
Here's the thing, though. Like, so to me, there's a technical challenge.
Yeah.
Like, can we do it? Yes, we can. Then the challenge becomes, can we do it cheap enough that it's worth having a machine do it as opposed to just hiring a person to do it? And then here's what I think the real barrier is, because I think we're actually going to get those in the next 20 years. The real barrier, I think, is I want a machine to do this or do I want a human to do this because it's on my body forever?
Yeah, and then there's the weird notion of just sitting down and having a machine essentially etch something into your flesh with no human intermediary, where you just kind of feel like you're...
It's kind of like if you've ever heard of value-add products where it's like, I'm going to get Monopoly, but all in wood. And it's like, well, congratulations, it costs $200 more now.
Right.
It's like there's a serious value-add to a human artist doing it as opposed to a computer doing it exactly.
Now, I will argue for a whole other day and a whole other topic, this exact question about massage parlors. Ooh. Both legitimate and illegitimate.
Fair enough. We'll get a masseuse in here.
I wouldn't mind a cyborg real doll.
This is what I'm saying.
Who can say naughty things to me?
It's what's the old line from The Simpsons? Thaw me out when robot wives are cheap and and available or whatever it is.
Classic saying.
Yes, it is. I believe it's...
And then once again in Futurama where this is what happens when...
Don't date robots!
Yep. No. I think within 20 years, it's absolutely plausible that something like this could happen and become a marketable thing. As far as the the financial maladies that you would run into, I don't know. Usually, a tattoo, I charge $120 an hour, and that's a pretty fair price considering I've won multiple awards and been in lots of magazines, stuff like that. When you have a machine that'll do it. And you can download just about any design.
Mm-hmm. It's basically a skin printer at that point.
Yeah. I don't know how much these machines would cost, how much a cartridge of ink would cost for these machines. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it eventually, like most things, it'll be cost-effective, cost-efficient. And it will be the norm. People won't see it as such an obscure thing to go and get a machine tattooed instead of a person. It'll just be something that happens.
Well, it's interesting. I feel like the analogy would be really just painting and prints sure you can.
That's very good. Yeah.
You can print out a low resolution at home, anything you want. If you want to get literally your son's picture of him as a baby on your back, go for it. But it's going to be very low resolution. Mm-hmm. Or you can get a print done that has a limited run with DRM, mm-hmm. right? Digital rights management.
Right, right.
Or you get or if you're really serious, go get it done by the dude personally for the absurd rate.
Yeah.
And each one of those people. I mean, here's the other thing we might want to consider is it might just not be about RGB or CMYK values for those who don't follow red, green, blue for out of color.
Magenta,
sorry, yeah, black. Out of color and yeah, cyan, magenta, and yellow for inks, which I'm sure you're familiar with. What are the three primitive colors for skin? Is it still cyan, magenta, and yellow, or is it
for skin? No, there's a rainbow of colors.
So you get like cobalt blue, yeah, like so it really is like painting.
But I'm guessing where you're headed with this is, you know, like ultraviolet inks or things that can only be perceived under
different... And there is ultraviolet inks, but I was going to say gestural input as well. So actually recording the live input of a tattoo artist and the very depths they're using and stuff and replaying that on a new type of arm.
See, I don't see why something like that wouldn't be...
equivalent is brushstrokes.
I don't see why they wouldn't take
that. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was not following.
I don't see why something like that wouldn't be used when whatever said technology to print tattoos. I don't see why that wouldn't be used in the first place. They would probably have to take in a lot of data like that.
Well, it depends on if you're recording from a tattoo artist or you're outputting, like, print the picture I found on Google Image Search on my leg.
They're probably going to want the actual printed image.
I'm just excited for the day when I can get ultra-thin organic LEDs implanted into my flesh that run off piezoelectric implants so that I can make lights like a manta ray. Like
I hope the first thing you make... I hope the first thing you make is a light-up Godsmack tattoo around your belly button.
Doi. Also, one of them will be powered by Kegels, but I'll let you figure out which one that is.
Just one strand of the sun just wiggle. I hope they wiggle. Like they just flop around like little...
This is me flexing different parts of my body while the Godsmack LED tattoo lights itself up.
Oh, God, Lord.
So for our weekly contest this week, the first person to take a GIF of Ben found on the internet without our help... create a GIF of a wiggling LED Godsmack tattoo around his belly button will win a carved rocket ship of a tattoo. I don't know what that even means, but you, Ben, will interpret the term carved rocket ship of a tattoo.
And I'll tell you right now, listeners, there are plenty of videos of me without my shirt on the internet. Lots of them.
I've seen them.
Yeah, they're out there.
And there's plenty
of videos.
On the
cold, lonely nights, I've seen them constantly.
There are plenty of videos of an animated Godsmack tattoo as well. So
tons of them.
It only takes a little bit of elbow grease.
Get to work, internet.
But here's the thing. So we're still in needles going into skin mode. Do you think we'll ever get to a point where...
Skin goes into needles?
Yes! We suck the skin into needles.
Well, isn't that what you were talking about earlier, or what I kind of brought up about what's the thing that Christopher Reeves needed to get his spine working
again? Stem cells.
Stem cells. God, I'm drunk. that's kind of what's going into the stem cells stuff now. But it's more of a spray, not so much needles.
I love the idea that in the future we won't use stem cells for anything but sweet body modifications.
I'm really looking forward to the day that they cure baldness so that I can grow huge lapels of luscious hair on my shoulders, like an admiral, like epaulets of like just unbelievable.
Well, that's interesting. Like the idea of in the future, the instead of people having tattoo sleeves, they'll just have werewolf sleeves, where it's just like he just has one really hairy arm.
All sorts of weird stuff. I mean, you'll get like patterned hair with like tattoo colors and LED like all over yourself. And why stop? If you can do stem cells, why not get like bioluminescent cell implants from undersea creatures?
No, that's there's actually it's funny because a friend of mine and we're having I love Batman Beyond the cartoons. If you'll remember, there was an episode where there was a gang that was going around. And they were getting gene splicing. That was their body modification. And since we were talking about the future, of course, I was thinking about this. It came up in my head. This is how it came up. We were eating Wendy's or whatever. And I was like, hey, remember that episode? And then there were eventually ones who just got like full on to where they were kind of like were creatures. They would get like a jackal or a bull.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't see why that wouldn't be something that would eventually come to pass. It would be... so fucked up when they first tried it, and there would be so many mutations that were just like blobs of flesh.
It would eventually become like fucking teenagers and their goddamn jackal faces.
Yeah. Oh, this fucking jackal. I remember back in my day, you would just get a tattoo of Tribe on your face.
And then way back, and then like eventually it'd be like, well, once you get those jackal modifications, you can never expect a real job. And then like 90 years later, it's like, well, I know jackal faces that are lawyers and doctors, and it's totally normal to have a jackal face now. And it's just not, it's that show Miami Jackal Face that really did it. It really just mainstreamed gene splicing.
I like the idea that all gene splicing is just jackal faces. Like
that's the only thing we ever figured out.
It turns out
how to
it's like we don't know the chromosome for anything but jackal faces.
Could you imagine the UFC fights after that?
Oh like, my god,
guy with
such
a claw.
A shit show.
I got a claw, and I got a crab claw.
Tonight
I'm gonna fight
we've
you,
got
jackal.
Crab claw versus jackal face. And tonight's prize card: jackal face versus jackal face. It's a jackal face with a jackal face inside its mouth.
Jackal face beat crab claw and he's eating him. Oh, I bet that's delicious.
Good Lord, we live in a horrible dystopian future. Next up, Mike and Molly.
I mean, it's interesting. We've been focusing so much on, like, just skin modifications in the very short term, but and that's, to be fair, probably because we don't know fuck shit about it until after this talking with you. But there is this whole spectrum of other things we can modify potentially in the next.
Oh, yeah.
Especially,
yeah.
You know, as bioengineering progresses into the recreational spectrum.
Right.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that's been happening already. Gosh, there's this guy, and I can't remember his name, but it's something like Fakor, who there's carving.
Actually, a good friend of mine has a I haven't spoken to her in a few years, but we were friends in high school and middle school and knew each other in college, and she has a an incredibly intricate carved rose tattoo across her back that is like, I mean, the whole width of her shoulders. It's very, very large.
Carved as in?
They designed it. Like, it's, like, shaded, you know. So it's, like, as if someone made a calligraphic rose. Mm. And then the black spots where the ink would go, essentially, were sliced and peeled out of her flesh. And so, and, like, a deep layer of flesh, too. And they were carefully treated with chemicals and, you know, various healing kinds of creams and whatnot, so that they would scar in the right way so it wouldn't just become a horrible mass.
Right.
And it was terrifying when she first had it done. And then, like a year later, it's quite beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The person that I'm talking about, this Fakur, and I'm pretty sure that's his name, he actually developed an instant cauterizing scalpel so that as soon as he would make the cut, I think it was like two blades came down to it was almost like a triangle. So he'd cut and the skin would come out and it would cauterize immediately. So it would immediately burn, scarring the tissue. And this guy, he's one of the guys that you would see, and a lot of people would call him a freak, but he's an innovator as far as it comes to body modifications. He would wear this girdle that was probably the width of a 2-liter bottle of Coke around his waist. And I think he had ribs removed, and he was like this guy. Yeah, he was very, and that's one of the things you were talking about, the future of body modification and stuff like that. That's one of the things. Like, people are going to these extremes now, and
well, and how about like the saline implants, the donut head stuff you see in like Japanese subcultures, where they will literally inject huge amounts of saline like in their foreheads, and they will create like a donut ridge.
That I mean, there's plenty of ways to do that. That's not the only way to do that. There's actually people who are getting.
I mean, I guess that's reversible because your body flushes the saline eventually.
Right. I think that's a safe way to do it. There are people who are actually getting metallic implants. They'll get like piercings, but underneath the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll have things put in their skin, so it'll be a design that that you'll be able to see forever. And the only way to get that out is to actually carve the fucking thing out. I don't know if you've seen the guy with the lizard.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
He's got.
And the cat man who recently passed away.
What's that?
He passed away?
The cat man, I believe, recently committed suicide.
The cat man? I know the cat girl.
No, there's what's her face, who was a very wealthy woman who has slowly turned herself into a cat. And then there's the lizard man, and then there was a cat man as well.
Mm.
And I know that the cat man, I believe, recently committed suicide.
Holy
or
shit.
Recently overdosed, and there's some question as to whether it was intentional or not.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, the lizard man's fine, though, from what I understand.
Yeah. Well, all I was going to say is that there's other ways they get calcium implants underneath their skin, and it's not something that they can actually it's not a regulatable thing, but you can guesstimate. Yeah, you can guesstimate. Like, oh, I'm gonna get horns, and that's usually what they do. They put in little horns, or like he's got ridges on his brow, so it looks more lizard-like. There's things like that as far as body modification is concerned. God,
but what's interesting about that is, so we have the technology to look very unusual.
Yeah.
Right. But that has clearly not caught on. And, I mean, there's a question of, oh, is this just new and it's going to take some time? Like, will I start seeing more donut heads? And, to Ben's point, there is a lot of donut heads, at least according to, you know.
According to the internet.
Donuthead.com.
Donuthead.com, yeah. Likely skews things a little
bit. But, I mean, I can't think of any time I've ever met a lizard-horned man at work or even, like, at a bar. Like, I've never met.
I've met a couple people truly in random situations where they had extensive body modifications. Maybe that just says something about where I end up on Friday nights. But
how much of that is a combination of tattoos and piercings? Like, did he go beyond that?
No, I've seen people with genuine, like, subdermal implants that are, like, you know.
Well, there you go. There's dermal implants, which are, for those of you listening, a lot of people will have these. You'll see people jewels or whatever in random places, like say their cheek or on their temple. And what that is you're actually taking some sort of hole puncher and punching a part of their skin out, and there is this T-shaped metal device, and on the end of the bottom of the T would be the jewel, and you would put the you'd put that into their hole that you punched out, and it would heal up over that, and that's how they would have that little jewel on the cheek. That's one body modification that has caught on,
and they can
really
screw
popular.
It in and out, right?
They can screw it in and out. Yeah, the only way
I've even seen. I mean, I know this is a much more horrific place to put this, but I've seen like anchored metal implants in the whites of people's eyes.
I don't think that's actual metal. From what I've heard, and this is once again, I'm kind of speaking out of my area of expertise, but
that's
I do
what
know
Logan
it.
And I do every podcast.
Yeah,
more on alert. More on
exactly.
alert. But I have heard a little bit about it in the field, and what that is it's more of some kind of not like a crazy glue or something like that, but it's not actually like.
Oh, okay.
It's just kind of stuck on there with an adhesive. It's not punched in there. So eventually, I'm hoping you'd be able to take that out.
That
but
does
I
make
have
me
seen
sleep
well.
A little better at night to know that all
same
those
thing with the teeth. You've seen the diamonds on the teeth.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
the same.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like when you put some kind of adhesive on for braces or something like that.
So would there be a way? Let's say I lost my eye in an accident. Mm. Would there be a way to mount like a power source in my eye socket and then
they've already done it.
Put a little weight for it and then put a and then put like a false eye level screen. So that when I opened my eye, there was just like a glowing, solid wall of light.
Eat it, Joe's?
I mean, eat it, Joe's if I'm feeling sassy, if I'm trying to be like seductive, maybe like a deep ruby red that pulsed with my heartbeat.
Hey, baby.
Who's eat it, Joe's?
Joe's. You never seen Looney Tunes?
Come on, man. It's like the neon sign that you would always see at Looney Tunes when they were like...
Oh, eat at Joe's.
Is it my slurring?
I thought IDA Joe's like eat at Joe's.
Eat at Joe's.
And I was like the Star Trek, like a Star Wars character, I mean, like from the cantina. I don't know this one.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
See, I'm imagining like Kane or something, where it's just like a chrome eyeball with a red LED in
no,
the
no,
center.
No, no, no. I want to open Kano. My eye and there be no
sorry, Kano. Kano.
No metal. I want it to just be glowing light.
Yeah, you could do that now. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to do
that. Because I like
now.
My eyes. That's why.
I like the idea of a glass orb with a goldfish in the inside.
I like that.
Yeah, but the goldfish has a latex mask of your own face on it.
Wow.
That reminds me of Fishman from Sega. Holy shit. That is
wow.
ridiculously
you
creepy.
You blew
C-Man.
My mind right there,
C-Man,
Logan.
C-Man, that's it.
Holy shit.
Logan, I'm going to give you an old fashioned for that.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah. You mean the drink, or is that like a tattoo term?
No, okay. It means I'm gonna jack you off.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was very old
fashioned. In a trucker's bathroom stall.
Hey, Alex, how we doing on time, bro?
We're about 63 minutes.
Wow. Fantastic. So, our final thing: if you could modify your body in
Assuming
any way,
technology is no boundary at all.
No boundary. What would you do?
Adamantium skeleton and claws with a healing factor like Wolverine.
Nice. Logan, what about you?
Wait, that's a super... I meant purely cosmetic,
hey,
not superpowers.
How is that not cosmetic?
So
someone fucks with me, I go, snick, snick.
So
what,
that's
you
all you
some?
Got. So that's really... But then that's your only modification. You gave yourself claws.
And
a healing factor.
And an
adamantium skeleton. And a healing factor.
Those aren't cosmetic.
He didn't say cosmetic.
It would be because if someone shot me, I would heal up and look beautiful again.
Then I want fucking Superman's powers. This is a shitty question
now. No.
No. Okay. Adamantium.
Let's put it this way. Technology is no boundary, but we have to use real world materials.
There are elements that I haven't been
discovered
yet.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No. See, here's what I want. Not functional, more cosmetic. Like,
okay,
how
cosmetic.
You look. How
purely
would you change
cosmetic.
Yourself to how you look? As opposed to, like, I can chomp through steel with my teeth now, which is like,
that's
oh, congratulations,
amazing.
You're
that,
fucking
that's
badass.
Like,
what if that's just a badass would, side effect of
yeah.
awesome metal teeth?
Who wouldn't want to look enough. Like Jaws from, who wouldn't have Jaws power from Bond or Trap Jaw?
I like the idea of somebody just body modding themselves.
Way to call
each
trap
piece
jaw.
Of their body part. Is you know what? I'm done with this.
No. I want to know what yours is. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, mine was stupid. You go ahead
you
and say
tell
yours.
Me what your cosmetic body modification is.
Please.
Well, if we're assuming we can do the genetic modification like Jackal Face, I just want to straight up look like a street shark. Like
fair.
If I could just really just look like a street shark.
You just
want
to be a street shark with a huge shark head with
the
like
heart,
really
yeah.
amazingly like ripped human body.
Oh, you got to be buff
and rollerblades.
You cannot have a shark head and be a skinny motherfucker. You've got to be buff as shit.
Most of the sharks
really
don't have necks.
Buff,
so.
And wear cut off sleeves and
cut off jean shorts.
But that would be part of my skin.
Oh, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
So you'd be naked all the time?
How about you, Ben?
Yeah. Honestly, I would want every square inch of my body to be a mentally controlled LED disco screen so that I could quite literally on like a pixel level, so like if I could get it down to like the size of like a pencil erasure, maybe a little smaller, every square inch of my body, I could like ripple light patterns just up and down.
So really, you're talking about a human billboard.
No, way better than a human billboard. I could like tune it so like if I needed to be romantic, I could like have it pulse with my heartbeat. If I needed to be inspiring, like I would like appear in the darkness glowing like a beacon.
You can be like those really awesome guys who have the Christmas tree lights set up to go with the music.
But
oh,
all the time.
That'd be
like
amazing.
On a dance floor, I would be an unstoppable light strobing machine.
Put on some dubstep and just fucking go
just
nuts.
Lose
pick
my
up the
shit.
Bitches. Pussy galore.
Yes.
I'd be worried about this turning into a arms race.
It will.
Who's the
it will. No, like you just said it will.
Arms yes. race.
If you think Jackal Face is the be all end all, wait till you see a strobing bioluminescent man composed entirely of Jackal
Faces. Why can't we just make an amalgamation of all these ideas? We'll have a strobing light street shark with Wolverine claws.
Well, exactly. I think we just Rob Liefeld's head just exploded. And the only thing he could add to it was as he died was pouches. And
pouch.
Then just slumped
lots
over.
Of pouches.
Oh, that's so good. You did great.
Oh God.
Brilliantly done.
Thank
brilliantly
you.
Done.
You sir.
All right, thank guys. You. That's to the fucking future. Have a good one.
To the fucking future.
To the
fucking future.
Thanks, Derek.